Lack of money was a very difficult thing to adjust to. There were moments when we had no money to take the subway from uptown to downtown, and we had to walk over 50 blocks during the November rains. When we came to New York, we had to start from scratch. We had to survive. We really had to reinvent ourselves and build a life rather than survival, and that was very, very, very hard.
Meet Olga Isserlis, founder and CEO of Adagio Events. She is among the most sought-after international event planners. We watch her on the scene of her triumph as she stands at the center of the Valentino Retrospective Exhibition that she organized in Singapore. She is on top of the world now, and yet she remembers the time when she struggled to survive. How did she get here? Welcome to the Fab Talks podcast project. We'll meet women who had the strength and courage to turn their lives around. We will share their transformation journey and witness the turning points where their lives could have taken a very different direction, just as our lives could. It's the evening of the launch of the Valentino Retrospective Exhibition, on the 21st of December, 2010. A warm, balmy night, filled with light and emotion. The venue is the Resort World Sentosa, a complex of luxury buildings overlooking the sea. Tonight, it has been turned into a dream palace of fashion, charm, and history for this event. In order to make it happen, Olga has had to knock on many doors.
I decided to challenge myself to see how I can bring this incredible experience to Singapore. And I started working on it. I basically worked on this project completely on my own, my own dream. I talk about it now, I still have goosebumps on my arms.
The exhibition showcases 100 of the most iconic dresses created by Mr. Valentino of the Italian Maison Valentino, one of the most renowned fashion houses in the world. Among the pieces on display in the crystal cases are Jackie Kennedy's wedding gown, exclusive creations worn by movie stars from Anita Ekberg to Elizabeth Taylor to Julia Roberts, and many wonderful dresses in the signature Rosso Valentino, that unmistakable red.
The exhibition lasted about almost 6 weeks. It was a tremendous success. We had people flying from all over the world, especially from this region, just to see the exhibition. It was truly extraordinary. Some of the pieces from the collection had never even left Italy.
Olga, herself dressed in stunning Valentino, looks around her. All the pieces have been flown in at enormous effort and expense. At one point, the project was on the verge of folding, as there was fear that Singapore's humidity might damage the most delicate fabrics. Olga was suffering from unprecedented stress and work overload.
I lost my hair, I lost my health. Only imagine my pride, just my emotion. It was overwhelming for me. That was the actual inauguration, that it actually happened.
At any point in the last difficult months, Olga could have thrown in the towel. She could have decided that it was all simply too much, that the odds were against her, and this exhibition was not meant to happen. But she didn't give up. Why? Because the odds had always been against her, right from the start. Olga will never forget the day she had to grow up. A moment. A scar in the soul. That scar has the shape of a violin. Olga is 16 years old the day she leaves Russia, where she has been born and where she grew up. The daughter of a medical scientist and an electronic engineer, Olga has been raised in St. Petersburg's cultural elite. Although during her childhood the city was still called Leningrad, that part of the world was still called the Soviet Union. Literary discussions, musical soirees, theatre and opera have been Olga's privilege since she was a little girl. Her taste has been educated in the most talented and refined of companies.
My father played violin very well, and my mother as well. We were surrounded by this very intense and very interesting cultural life at that time. My parents were intelligentsia, as they call it then in Russia.
Intelligentsia. The Russian literati. People with good jobs and a good lifestyle. Olga herself plays the violin and is a lover of classical music. But a few months ago, tragedy hit the family. Olga's father passed away suddenly from a heart attack, and Olga's mother decided that Soviet Russia was not safe enough for two Jewish women living alone. Anti-Semitism is rooted deep into Russian history and society. Olga's mother has been barred from presenting her medical studies in international conferences. Olga has recently been targeted in the streets. She heard again and again that scream, "Jew." They mean it offensively and menacingly, although she barely knows what it implies. She and her mother are not practicing Jews, and all religious cults are banned from the Soviet Union anyway. But this is not enough to keep them safe. The only safety, as for many before them, lies in exile. They are leaving Russia forever.
This is a security announcement for passengers. Please make sure they have their belongings.
At the airport, it's now Olga's turn to present her belongings for inspection. Her suitcase is light. The two women had to leave almost everything behind, including their beloved books, the splendid family library. After the suitcase, Olga puts her opened violin case on the conveyor belt. That violin was given to her by her father. It is the last treasured possession that ties her to him. She watches as the guard takes the instrument from the case and wonders why. What's there to check? What danger, what menace might a violin be? Olga holds her breath as the shiny, elegant wooden instrument is lifted in the air and suddenly dropped to the ground.
It was pushed over the ground, over the marble floor, and it broke. It affected me emotionally, very, very much. The guard definitely did it on purpose, and it was very obvious to me. In front of my eyes, it was disturbing.
That's where Olga stops being a teenager and becomes a woman. There, in a Russian airport, while she and her mother run away crying to board the plane, Olga will never play the violin again. That's when she learns that everything in your life can be taken from you without reason, in a single instant, of rage or spite. And yet, she describes that moment as a devastating experience, but at the same time, the opening of a door. Because that's also where she swears to herself that she will take it all back. She will make it big in the new, exciting, scary city that awaits her. New York.
Everything was absolutely new. Everything was new. We were absolutely not prepared for any Western world when we immigrated from Russia. We barely spoke English. It was a sense of discovery for us, the newcomers.
Being in a foreign country where you don't even understand the language, it's happened to all of us. But being there with almost no money, with almost no connections.
Lack of money was a very difficult thing to adjust to. There were moments when we had no money to take the subway from uptown to downtown, and we had to walk over 50 blocks during the November rains.
Life is expensive in the Big Apple, and Olga is not a princess of the intelligentsia anymore. She is one of the many immigrants in search of a better life in a city that doesn't really care. She might well lose herself in those busy streets, none of which is paved with gold. Instead, she decides to feel inspired by the limitless energy and sense of purpose surrounding her, and to stick to one of the teachings of her parents. Without hard work, you achieve nothing. Olga gets into university at 17. She is the youngest student in the first year. She is still learning a new language, as she is fluent in Russian, but she never studied English. And she has to work, or she won't be able to afford a good education. As soon as she arrived, she found a job as a shop assistant, selling clothes in a department store. Now, as she attends university, she works in reception at the Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, where her mother is also employed.
We just worked very hard, both of us, me and my mother. We followed our dream, followed our goal for the time that we had, and nobody was able to stop us.
This is the toughest period of Olga's life. Long days and nights studying for the exams. All weekends spent among suffering people at the cancer center. And decisions to take about her life. What does she want to become? She's only a teenager, but her thoughts and worries are those of an adult. She has to move carefully and catch every opportunity, or she will become one of the many hopefuls that the big city has chewed up and spat out. Life is bleak and exhausting. But there, right on the edge of desperation, her transformation starts. Olga and her mother manage to put away some of their hard-earned money, and they decide to use it to go to classical concerts, theatre plays, movies. They invest what little they have of time and money to fuel their taste for culture and art. They let beauty fill their soul, strengthen the bond that ties them together. They stand united and proud against the temptation of becoming totally absorbed by their daily chores, by their basic worries. Love for each other and their common love for beauty are the keys to transforming their reality and keep their faith in a better future burning bright. At such a young age, Olga learns two lessons. That dreaming big is just as important as working hard. And that when you refuse to be stopped, you become unstoppable.
We came here just for a few years originally, but we ended up being here almost 30 years.
The opportunities are always there, but you have to take them on. You have to take risks. Some years have passed, and Olga has managed to leave the hardships behind. But a new opportunity presents itself in the form of yet another move. Her husband is offered a job in Singapore. They have a one-year-old son. Olga is now faced with the decision. Shall she uproot herself again and start yet another new life on the other side of the world? She decides to follow her curiosity and trust in her resilience. She accepts the challenge. This is very different to her travel from Russia to America. Olga is coming to a rich and safe country where expat professionals like her husband are highly valued and where she will enjoy a comfortable lifestyle as a wife and a mother. But can a fighter like Olga be content in a domestic backwater? Hardly.
It was an easy transition in terms of logistics, in terms of packing. But culturally, a shock. Especially at the time, Singapore was not as affluent and as culturally intense as it is now. In the beginning, I was ready to go back to London or go back to New York.
Singapore in the 90s is not the up-to-date cosmopolitan metropolis it will become. Although very welcoming and friendly, at the beginning, it feels to Olga like a pond compared to the challenging and diverse New York City. She could choose to simply be bored and complain, feeling sorry for herself. But Olga's love of beauty and culture triggers another transformation. She embarks on a journey of discovery of the island that is now her home. She tries to understand its mosaic of traditions and religions. She studies its rich history. And soon she is tapping into its phenomenal energy. She decides that she wants to be a part of this new world, make her contribution. She starts with basic needs and sets up a bagel shop that soon becomes a huge success. But this is only the first step of a bigger project, becoming a part of the local entrepreneurial set and working to bring more music, art and culture onto the Singapore scene.
I kind of was known as a bagel lady. I kind of put the bread culture on the map because in Singapore at that time, bread was not really an item.
And that's when fate enters Olga's life again. This time, as a friend. Luck does not come uninvited. Luck comes to people who have their hands full and their minds ready. Olga is asked to help organize a charity event for the American Association. She accepts, although this is a job she has never done before. It's a leap of faith, first of all in herself. She discovers her real call. She is good at organizing. She enjoys it. She decides to revamp the whole notion of staging an event. She's not interested in setting up a launch or a soiree. She wants to create an unprecedented and unrepeatable experience. She sees the event as a journey, from the day you receive the save a date to the night you go back home with an unforgettable evening in your memory. The enemy is boredom, and the weapon against it is challenge. The people coming to her events will be engaged, aware. She'll make them appreciate how culture and beauty are so meaningful that they can give your whole life a new direction. And she will also challenge them to live up to high standards. Her guests will experience that deep, demanding taste for life that has always been hers, right from her childhood. Because this, she tells herself, is the real luxury.
The luxury is about creativity, your special touch of finesse.
Luxury is not a careless dance on a careless evening. Luxury is when that evening shines as if it were your first, your last, your only dance. Luxury is a facet of that elusive feeling we're all looking for. Happiness.
I see people as flowers in the garden. They have different shapes, different sizes, but they all turn to the sun.
And so it is that after all the changes she's had to face, Olga has found her true calling in a job her parents had never even heard of, in a different corner of the world than the one she started in. In 2016, she decided to write a book as her legacy for the future. And Save the Date was born. The story of her amazing life and career, and of the lessons she learned. Today, Olga is also a member of FAB, the Lamborghini Female Advisory Board. The key to her transformation lies in the love for culture, music, and literature she learned from her parents. In the warmth, sensitivity, melancholy, and passion for beauty that belonged to her Russian soul. In the strength and determination that was sharpened by a hard life. In the sense of wonder and possibility that come from reinventing yourself again and again. And if you ask her whether she thinks that organizing events is a woman's job, she smiles her typical smile. Half witty, half wise, and nods. Sure it is, she agrees. It's an extremely challenging job. It takes an extremely strong person to do it. Therefore, it takes a woman. would your advice for young women be?
Only you can make yourself happy. You cannot rely on others for happiness. If you start to believe in this notion, you will become a happier person, and you will succeed in whatever achievement you create for yourself. Work very hard for your dream. Dream big, but act for your dream. Be ready to work hard, with passion.
Can you share the name of a woman in history or culture who has been an inspiration for you in your life?
Someone like Catherine the Great. She was a patron of arts and worked for education. Or someone like Marie Curie, with her exceptional grace and hard work. She was an extremely hardworking person.
What does the future hold for you? What's your next goal?
I'm definitely working on a very interesting project because I can see that life is going to be very different for all of us. But yet people want to communicate, they want to connect, they want to express love and give love. So I'm creating an event, a project that I believe has cultural elements to let people be together again in an unusual setting. Stay tuned. Nothing happens without the hard work, nothing. Go for broke, never compromise.